Am I supposed to stand up here? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Pastor Harley told me to actually come in my robes to preach. I am very glad I did not listen to him. Okay, so, you know, it's really good to be with you. Thank you, Pastor Terry, Pastor Harley, and the team for the privilege of being here with you at the 11:30 service this morning at Cathedral. And I still remember it was maybe about a year ago, more than a year ago now, when Pastor Terry got in touch with me, and he just told me very excitedly that you guys were planning to start an 11:30 service here at the Cathedral. And then, you know, I think Pastor Terry initially wanted to see if I could actually go out to KL with Pastor Harley and some of the team here to connect them with the team from HDBB because they were, you know, friends of mine as well. But at the time, as Pastor Harley was saying, I was still in theological college, and as Charlotte will tell you, your timetable is really restricted by the college timetable. So they couldn't wait for me. They went out by themselves. And the rest is really history. You know, here you are now, thriving, doing really well, just over a year since you guys started. Okay? And it's really exciting watching how this community has grown, you know, since its launch. I follow you guys on Instagram. Got points, right? I follow Instagram, not bad. Yeah. I follow you guys on Instagram, and it's actually really wonderful watching how God has been really blessing the work, blessing the community here. And so, yeah. You know, whenever I meet Pastor Terry, he recently came to St. James to preach, and he will always talk about the 11:30 service, very much like a proud father. So he's sitting there around the back, just smiling very proudly, you know, because seeing how the 11:30 service has really grown. So I'm really glad to be able to be here and finally experience this service for myself. So Harley has already introduced my wife, Eliza, and my baby, Riley, who's supposed to be asleep, but why are you not asleep? Anyway, and we're also here with my sister-in-law, Rachel, and her boyfriend, Julian. So they're here. Just give us a little wave. Okay. Before that, I just want to say that your pastor, Kenan Terry, was also the one that baptized me and also the one who first offered me the opportunity to serve the Lord full-time a number of years ago. So I have much to be grateful to him for. But also, if after my sermon you got any issues, please bring your complaints to him. Okay, this morning, you know, I'd like to speak to you on the topic of God's promises, God's way. Okay, throughout history, God's promises to his people was always so that others would be blessed through his people. And this has been God's story from the very, very beginning. Remember God's call to Abram, who later became Abraham. You know, God said to him, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, see, God's goodness to Abraham was not just for him and his family. It was so that they would be a blessing, and all the families of the earth would be blessed. And then we see God's special relationship with Israel in the Old Testament. It was always, again, so that the nations of the earth would look at Israel and be led to worship the one true God. You know, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah at one point, and he said that one day all the nations would come to worship God on Mount Zion. So likewise, we as God's people today, and the blessings and the promises that we have in Christ were never meant to stop with us. See, our God is on a mission to reconcile all creation to himself. And he calls us, he invites us, his people, to join in his mission so that others may experience his great promises that are found in Christ through us. But if we take a step back, okay? But for us to participate in God's mission, we ourselves must first experience God's promises that are found in Christ. Maybe some of us here might already have a sense, have had a taste of God's promises that are for us. You know, and indeed, this can be, and it will be an amazing time, amazing life of just intimacy with Jesus and of being used powerfully by him. Whether in the mission field, I understand that you're in a missions month focus right now, or even locally, wherever he places you, in your schools, in your workplaces, in your families. But how? How can we as God's people actually walk in the fullness of his promises that he has for us? So this morning, let me submit to you that it all begins with a people who will be fully devoted to him, because God's promises must be fulfilled God's way. So how can we, as God's people, fully devote ourselves to the Lord so that God's promises to us and through us can be fulfilled God's way? So may the story of God's people in Joshua 5, as they were about to step into the promised land, really encourage us this morning. So would you turn with me, church, to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and reading from verse 1. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children, whom he raised up in their place, that Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening of the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him and his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This is the word of the Lord. Not bad, still very Anglican, huh? Okay, so at the end of Joshua 4, where are the Israelites? The Israelites had crossed the Jordan and they were already standing in the land of Canaan. They were on the brink of seeing God fulfill his promise given years ago to Abraham and his descendants, a promise that would ultimately bring blessing to the nations of the earth. And so in verse 1 of chapter 5, we see that because of the miraculous way that the Lord had led them across the Jordan, the kings of their enemies, the inhabitants of the land, they were all demoralized. It says, their hearts melted and there was no longer any spirit in them. Okay, imagine all of us right now, we're the people of Israel. And at this very moment, we're standing in the very land the Lord had promised to give our ancestors to give us. And what stands between us and us possessing the promised land, you know, are our enemies who are struck with fear because they heard of the awesome power of our God. What? He parted the River Jordan for them to cross through. Our enemies are struck with fear. What will we do? I think most of us would say the smartest thing to do, the most expedient thing to do, is to seize the day, to attack. You know, our enemies are afraid. The victory is certainly ours, right? But what does the Lord do? Verse 2, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time." Wait, what? Circumcise? Yes, circumcise. You mean get all the men of our army to snip, chop? Yes, that's right. just when we are in the land of the promise and our enemies are struck with fear? Yes. Zunbo! Hang on. You can go back. Go back. Don't need the slide. Yeah. You know, really, circumcised. But why does the Lord want Israel to do this? Because God's promises will be fulfilled God's way. And in God's way, He desires a people who are fully devoted to Him. See, the call to circumcision was really a call to Israel to a renewed relationship with Him. It was a call to put their relationship with their God above all else. And so, as the people of God, we devote ourselves fully to the Lord by renewing our relationship with Him. You know, you see, Israel's journey into Canaan was not like just a traditional military campaign. It was a journey rather into receiving the very promises of God. Promises that were part of God's mission to bring His blessing to the whole earth. And such a journey must be shaped by the God who calls them and leads them. The circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God had established with Abraham. And it signified God's promise to forever be the God of Abraham and his descendants, that they would be exceedingly fruitful, and that God's blessing to Abraham would finally multiply to the nations. And so God's call to Israel to recommit themselves to Him through circumcision was really an invitation of grace to renew this special relationship that God began with Abraham. It was an invitation to allow their promise, their relationship with their God, to define how they were to receive His very great promises. And so today, we too are invited to a renewed relationship with our God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And by putting this relationship above all else, we can share in that fullness of His promises and share in His mission across the earth. You know, God's relationship with His people is really most important to Him. And that's why He came to earth in the person of His Son to restore us to right relationship with the Father. So at this point, I'm just going to pause and say, okay, if you're sitting here and you're visiting and you've never experienced a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you actually can experience that today. So please come speak to Pastor Harley or one of us after the service. Well, okay, as we come back, Joshua is told to circumcise the sons of Israel a second time, right? Because circumcision was not performed when they were in Egypt. I mean, since they left Egypt. And verses 4 to 8 tell us that while all the men who left Egypt were circumcised, they died in the wilderness because of their disobedience. But except for Caleb and Joshua, the rest of them, they didn't trust God. And they ended up coming under a curse, and they died before they entered the promised land. Thus, the call to circumcise a second time was really a call to circumcise those who were not circumcised while Israel was in the wilderness. It was an invitation to a renewed relationship with their God. It was a call of grace, and this is our God, right? You know, when we neglect our relationship with Him, He graciously calls us back. He's the God of the second chance. He says, devote yourselves to me again, because I want to bless you and use you to be a blessing. And so we read on in verse 3 to 4 of chapter 5. Joshua obeyed the Lord and circumcised the sons of Israel. Israel obeyed and renewed their relationship with their God by circumcision, even when it did not make sense, because God's promises must be fulfilled God's way. And God desires a people fully devoted to Him. So I guess the question for us today is, will we today be a people who value our relationship with our God above all else, even when it doesn't make sense? Now, I still remember when I first came on staff in St. James, I had just come back to Singapore, maybe about two years at Hillsong College in Sydney. So, of course, imagine with me, okay? You spend 2 years in Hillsong College in Sydney doing worship music. I mean, when you come on staff, you really want to be focused on worship music, right? But for some reason, maybe he's very wise or something, my vicar then, your vicar now, decided to assign me to the new alpha team that he was putting together in SJC. Okay, you know, at that time I wasn't so big on alpha like I am now. Okay, Pastor Terry used to tell me, and he was the one that told me this because I actually don't remember this. He said that when I was younger, I would actually go to him and ask him, "Hey, Pastor, why do you keep doing alpha? Like, aren't there other ways to do this evangelism thing? Why do you keep doing alpha?" You know, and there were also others in our church who were a bit more trained, a bit more experienced in Alpha. So why call me? You know, I think one of the reasons why I like, okay, I'll try this thing because Alpha had this thing called Worship Central and I was really keen on that. But anyway, so Alpha, as one of my key roles on staff, didn't really make sense. You know, I wasn't trained, I was keen on other areas, but at the same time, I was really grateful to the Lord and Pastor Terry for the opportunity to serve Him full-time. And so I was determined to put Him first, even when it didn't make sense. So I jumped all in. I devoted myself with this Alpha thing. You know, I gave it my best, even trying to see how would my experiences from Hillsong impact the way we ran our Alpha nights in St. James. But little did I know, okay, that by giving myself to God through my involvement with Alpha and SJC in St. James, I was actually preparing the way for my own parents, because I wasn't born into a Christian family. I actually grew up going to temples every year, going to Thailand to temples with my parents as well. I was actually preparing the way for my parents to encounter Jesus for themselves. So about a year later, after doing this Alpha thing, being missing, Mom, I'm not coming home Wednesday night. You guys know what I mean, right? Yeah. I was able to say, hey, Mom and Dad, I've been busy with this Alpha thing in church for a while now, and the next run is starting really soon. Would you like to come? And so my parents initially agreed to come just for the first session. We'll just come for one session lah. Then the next week, they say, okay, we'll come for the next one. But no more. Huh? Eventually, they kept coming back and made really good friends. Okay, friendships that would actually outlast the 12 weeks of Alpha. You know, and it was actually through these friendships that my parents continued to come to church regularly. And fast forward to Christmas service that year, I still remember it was Joseph Chien preaching. And when he gave the altar call, I was standing on stage because I was part of the worship team, and I saw my parents both stand up. And just, I kind of just completely lost it. You know, nothing quite prepares you for that moment when you see your very own parents respond to the gospel. Their journey with Jesus had finally begun. And little did I know that me choosing to stay devoted to God's leading, even when it did not make sense at the time, would ultimately become a channel for the promises of the gospel reaching my own family, reaching my own flesh and blood, my parents. So has God been speaking to you, but you've been struggling to respond in obedience? Because in your head, I'm just like, it does not make sense. I feel more inclined to this, but God asked me to do that, and what? Do you sense the Lord calling you to something, but your head is giving you all sorts of reasons to say no? If we desire to be a people who experience the fullness of His promises for our lives, today will we put Him first, even when it does not make sense? And as I learned to do that, and I'm still learning to do this, you know, I began to see just how big God's promises were. You know, His goodness to me became His goodness through me. And as I chose to honor Him, even when it did not make sense, His promises for my life began to even overflow into my family's life, to my parents. So today, would you renew your relationship with Him, trusting that His promises for your life will actually be fulfilled His way? God's ways might sometimes not make sense. They might even be uncomfortable. You see, renewing our relationship with God, right, often requires us to be vulnerable before Him. And as we come back to the text, in the case of the Israelites in Joshua 5, we see in verse 8 that after the circumcision was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. So imagine how the Israelites might have felt. Okay, guys, you're probably better imagining this with me. The act of circumcision would have left the man feeling raw and in pain. They were in a completely vulnerable position in a land that was yet unconquered, surrounded by their enemies, lying wounded from the procedure, unable to move, unable to fight. But yet, in their weakness and vulnerability, God showed Himself strong. The enemy kings were paralyzed by fear, and the Israelites were able to remain safely in the camp until they were healed. It is in our vulnerability that we truly learn to trust God. There is no renewed relationship without vulnerability. And ultimately, this vulnerability actually goes beyond the physical, right? You know, Deuteronomy 10, it calls on the Israelites to circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. Be no longer stubborn. being devoted to God really requires the removal of anything that might be keeping our hearts close to Him. Anything that might be making us stubborn to His Spirit's leading in us. It is learning to trust God with everything, even the things that we would rather keep hidden away. In the New Testament in Colossians, it reads in Colossians 2, "In Him, Christ, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ." Today, Jesus Christ is our true circumcision. He's the one who takes away our sin, our guilt, our shame, and anything else that might be causing our hearts to be hard and closed off to our God. But the thing is, Christ can only do this if we are willing to be vulnerable before Him. It is in our vulnerability, church, that we truly learn to trust God. There is no renewed relationship without vulnerability. So this morning, God in Christ invites us to renew our relationship with Him by opening ourselves to Him, being vulnerable before Him, allowing Him to circumcise our hearts. He says, "Will you let me in? Because my promises for you will only be fulfilled my way. Before you can join me in the renewal of all things, would you let me make you new? Would you let me cut away the hardness that is keeping you from experiencing my love and my healing, the hardness that is keeping you from receiving and giving my love?" So will we let Him deal with the things from our past that might have caused this hardness? See, these things might be the pain or regret from a past relationship, maybe deep feelings of guilt from a long-standing addiction or struggle. You may think, "I'm never going to be free from these things. It's just too difficult." But yet, you know, the scripture reminds us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And this is the promise. God's promises must be fulfilled God's way. But for God to make it a reality, we need to let Him in and to let Him deal with the stuff that's keeping Him out. I still remember a few years ago, I was at a Love Singapore prayer summit. And during one of the sessions, I felt God speaking to me about some struggle, some feelings of guilt and insecurity that I was holding on to at the time. And these things were completely my fault. They were a result of my past foolishness in relationships, in friendships. And I felt God wanting to deal with the feelings I was facing. He wanted to deal with these things. I don't usually hear God speak so clearly, okay? But this time I did. He spoke specifically about how He wanted me to approach each person that I had a fractured past with so that He could bring restoration. Honestly, it's really difficult hearing God speak about all this, you know. It was super difficult. I kept wanting to say, it's okay, God. You know, things will get better with time. Don't need to randomly, like, go and, like, apologize to them. Go and, like, speak to them, bring out the past. You know, why bring out the past? They'll think I'm weird, right? But I was super convicted that it was Him speaking. I went, you know, how many of you know that when you are so sure that the Lord has spoken, right, it's almost like He's grabbing you by the shirt and you have no choice but to obey. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey, even though it's super difficult. But you know what? To cut a long story short, right, trusting God and obeying led to such an experience of reconciliation and freedom and really a new beginning in so many different ways that I can only look back right now, years later, and say, it could only be You, Lord. Some of those people that He led me to reconcile with are some of my greatest friends, supporters, and partners in ministry. A renewed relationship with our God requires our vulnerability. It is in our vulnerability that God shows Himself to be strong, just as He did for the Israelites in Joshua, giving them a new relationship with their God. It is in our vulnerability that God can make things new. So the question for us is, will we trust Him even when it doesn't make sense? Even when we feel completely vulnerable? And so after the Israelites were healed, the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled the reproach of Egypt from you," verse 9. See, we're not told clearly what this reproach of Egypt actually is, but we have good reason to believe that it refers to the humiliation of slavery in Egypt, the scorn that Egypt had poured onto Israel. You see, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for what? 400 years. And after their exodus from Egypt, they ended up wandering the wilderness and the desert for another 40 years. Excuse me. And it's reasonable to expect that after the Exodus, the Egyptians would be like looking at the Israelites from afar and mocking them. Because you know why? Going from brutal slavery in Egypt to wandering a hot, dry, barren, dusty desert for 40 years hardly constitutes walking in a promise, right? But that very day, God was able to say to Israel, "Today I have rolled the reproach of Egypt from you." No longer did they have to bear the shame of their past slavery. They now bore the mark of a people who belonged to the one true God. Through Israel's willingness to be vulnerable before the Lord, God rolled away the humiliation of Egypt. And so likewise today, you know, when we are willing to be vulnerable before the Lord, God can and God will roll away the humiliation of our past mistakes, our past failures. The Lord wants to say to us today, "Today I have rolled the reproach from your past, the guilt, the shame, the pain away from you. You are free. Free to be mine, and I am yours. You are free to step into the promises I have for you. Free to join me as I make all things new." God's promises must be fulfilled God's way. And God's way begins with a people devoted to Him, in a renewed relationship with Him, even when it is difficult. And so we move on with the text. We see that Joshua 5 teaches us to devote ourselves to the Lord, not just by renewing our relationship, but also by rejoicing in that relationship with Him. You know, in verse 10 and 12, we find Israel celebrating the Passover on the 14th day of the month. Everything had been leading up to this climactic moment. See, Exodus 12 states that only circumcised males could eat of the Passover. Therefore, Israel had probably not celebrated the Passover in ages because they were not circumcised in Egypt. But now they had so much reason to rejoice. They were circumcised and were able to celebrate the Passover on the actual day that the Lord had designated when He instituted the Passover in Exodus 12. And the very land that He had promised to give His ancestors, this particular Passover that the Israelites celebrated, you know, celebrated God's deliverance of His people from Egypt, and as well as His bringing them into the promised land in fulfillment of His promise. But He also looked forward to the time when God would lead all Israel to take full possession of the entire land. In other words, it simultaneously looked backwards with thanksgiving to what God had done, but it also looked forward to the things He was going to do. And bear in mind, okay, all this was still taking place with Israel still in Canaan, with the land still unconquered. But then, God's promises must be fulfilled God's way. And a people devoted to God and His ways are a people who know how to rejoice, even in the midst of a land yet unconquered, with their enemies not far away. And likewise today, we as God's people, we have every reason to rejoice. We rejoice that in Christ we have been restored to relationship with our Father. We rejoice that He will one day return to make all things new. And the Christian life that we have is not without its struggles, right? Any one of you would agree with me. But we rejoice that His Spirit is with us, leading us, working out His perfect plans in and through us. You know, as Anglicans, every time we come together to partake of the Holy Communion, we say these great words of celebration and hope. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. You know, these are no mere words, right? You know, we say them, as we say them, we rejoice in what God has done in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We anticipate the glorious day of His return. And so rejoicing in the relationship that we have with our God, both corporately in worship, and in our daily quiet time, this builds our faith. It renews our hope. And as we live as a people who always have a reason to rejoice, the world around us will start to take notice. Because if you haven't noticed, the world out there needs real hope. That's why it's so amazing where you are situated as a cathedral, bringing hope to the city. Throughout history, you know, Christians have always been a people of rejoicing and hope, despite their circumstances. It is this unshakable hope that we have that is such a powerful witness for the gospel. And so Joshua 5, as we come into end, you know, Joshua 5 serves as a reminder that God's promises will only be fulfilled God's way. And God's way desires a people who will be fully devoted and renewed in our relationship with Him, rejoicing in that relationship. So today, would you make your relationship with Him a priority? coming back to the cross to renew that relationship when it may have grown cold, continually rejoicing in that relationship because of the hope that it brings. You know, for some of us, it might mean trusting God at His word, seeking to obey when you don't fully understand. For others, it may mean learning to be vulnerable before Him, to let Christ deal with the things that you've kept hidden for so long, so that the Spirit can remove those things that have hardened your heart and have kept you from experiencing His love. Joshua 5 ends with an encounter between Joshua and the commander of the Lord's army. And Joshua asks him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And the commander replies, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I have come." And then Joshua, what does he do? He worships. He recognizes that he was in the very presence of not just the commander of the Lord's army, but in the holy presence of God Himself. See, this small episode that ends Joshua chapter 5 actually reminds us that the right perspective in our relationship with God is so crucial. We often wonder whether God is on our side, you know, but more important than that is for us to recognize God's very presence, to know His ways, and to fully devote ourselves to Him. It's not so much whether God is on our side, but now that we know His promises and His plans for us in Christ, which will never fail, we must ask, are we on God's side? And so as we draw to a close, you know, I like us to take some time to just respond to the Lord. You know, we devote ourselves, I've been saying. We devote ourselves to the Lord by renewing that relationship and also by rejoicing in that relationship. So I'm just going to invite Dennis and the team to come and to lead us again. And as we respond in worship, you know, I believe that the Lord wants to meet us just as He has been since we started this service. Let's just take a few short moments and just recognize His presence in this place and let the Spirit speak, let the Spirit move. Some of us sense the Lord calling us, inviting us to renew our relationship with Him. Would you be willing to be vulnerable before Him and allow the Lord to bring peace, to bring healing where it is needed? As we were worshiping and as preparing to bring the word, I felt that there might be two groups of people that the Lord might be speaking to this morning. The first is, some of us here might be struggling with a relationship that has gone south, a relationship with a family member or a loved one. You know, it may be because of a disagreement or something that was done years ago. And whenever you think about a relationship, whenever it comes to mind, it feels really painful. It feels really raw. And you feel that the Lord wants to deal with it. He wants to bring reconciliation. He wants to bring peace into that situation. But you're afraid to let Him in because it's painful. The second group that I felt the Lord might be speaking to this morning, there might be some of us here who you're holding on to some feeling of pain, of guilt, of hurt from something that was done to you in the past. Something that was done to you. Yeah. And you're not sure why. Was it because of something I did? And you haven't really been able to move on. Sometimes you feel like the Lord saying, I want to put my finger there, I want to put my hand there to bring healing. But it's like, Lord, I can't open that chapter. I can't, because it's painful. As Dennis and the team lead us again, would you, as we worship, open your heart to Him today? And as we worship, you know, if you would like someone to pray with you, I'm sure there's a team ready to pray with you here. I'd be happy to pray with you as well. And for the rest of us, as we worship, let us rejoice in His goodness and the things He has done. As it says in Romans, let us allow the Spirit of God to pour His love in us again. and to fill us with hope, to strengthen our faith as we continue to look ahead to the things that He has done, to the things that He will continue to do. So let's just spend some time worshiping Him first. Would you stand?